T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Let's get going, y'all. Hour number 2 is right here on ESPN Upstate. Rob, Diesel, you be a part of the show. 844. Sorry, I'm having a coughing attack up here. I'm fine to talk to Diesel during their entire break. Soon as the intro song rolls, my body's like, oh, no, we have to forcefully eject every molecule of oxygen from your body. I'm good. I'll make it. Yeah, Diesel's back in the studio. I'm Rob, 844-GSP-ESPN, if you want to call in. You can text us at 71307, 71307. Text us, start your text with ESPN. Tweet us at The Rob Brown Show, at Diesel on Radio, at ESPN Upstate. Those are all the handles to tweet everybody at the radio station.
And if you want to get caught up on the 3 biggest stories happening in the Upstate right now from the lunch breakdown, go to ESPNUpstate.com, ESPN Upstate on Facebook, or ESPN Upstate on Twitter. The audio is there, condensed down into 2 minutes and 15 seconds.
Really? That's impressive.
I know. You bloviate a lot, so it's hard to condense all that down into 2:15.
You bloviate a lot. I believe what
I
do.
Are you Googling what bloviate means?
No, I know what bloviating means. I've been accused of bloviating my entire career. Thank you very much. I consider what I do, Diesel, opining.
There's a difference.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. There are some who bloviate.
You mean O-H-I-O, pining?
Why would you bring that up? Why would you bring that up?
Because it makes your soul hurt.
I opine. I might even, Diesel, I might even say that I propound.
Ooh.
Yeah. You're welcome. Or if you'd rather keep it Southern, Diesel, I reckon. You know, we get some sports up there, and I reckon. Anyway. Thanks. Yeah, check out all our social media sites. Twitter.com/ESPN Upstate. Facebook.com/ESPN Upstate. Instagram. Find us on just all the social medias. We're at ESPN Upstate. And would love to have you join us on our social media. And I think we're gonna start next week. I think we're going to do that on the daily. We will start uploading the lunch break down as an abbreviated statement. That way, if you can't listen to the whole first segment, you can at least bang out that 2 minutes and 15 seconds and know what we're going to talk about. Speaking of what we're going to talk about, you already know. It's Friday, which means we take this hour to start looking ahead at the weekend upcoming in college and professional ball. We've actually already had some pretty decent football games on TV this week. We've had a couple of Fun Belt games earlier in the week. We saw, of course, Eastern Carolina head down and take on the Raging Cajuns, which ended up being a damn fine little football game down there in Louisiana, in which the Chanticleers got the dub over the number 21 ranked team in Louisiana, and well, nationally ranked number 21 from Louisiana, which was a game, Diesel, that only your Appalachian State Mountaineers, should they ever be able to take to the football field again, can stop what I think might be a rematch of Coastal Carolina and the Louisiana Raging Cajuns from being your Fun Belt championship game this year.
Man, the Sun Belt looks not bad this year.
No.
Honestly, there's a lot of really good football teams across the board. The East looks really good. The East looks really good. Arkansas State looked solid last night. although they are now 3-2 on the season. And then Louisiana has been the class of the West over the past couple of seasons. Not really anybody else out West is really standing out as going to be a really good football team. It's a race between those two, but the East, man, looks really good. Georgia State looks good. Coastal Carolina looks good. We don't know what App State is, though they have been the class of the league over the past couple of seasons. They are sitting at home right now doing nothing.
Exactly. They're quarantined. That's what they are. And by the way, Arkansas State does have a pair of L's, one of them coming last night to Coastal Carolina, the Chanticleers. But they also lost a one-touchdown game on the road at Memphis. That is the same team, by the way, that went into the Little Apple and knocked off Kansas State earlier in the year. Not a bad team. Georgia State took them to the wire 59-52 yesterday evening in a game that I have to say, despite watching the NLCS yesterday evening, despite watching the Bravos get it done against the Dodgers last night, I got to tell you, the other television in the Casa de Love here, Diesel, was squarely tuned in to the Georgia State-Arkansas State game. That was fun.
Yeah, that was a huge point explosion. I mean, nobody could stop anybody. You had Arkansas State throwing trick plays deep in the fourth quarter to win that, to score the go-ahead touchdown. I mean, it was a fun football game.
It absolutely was.
It's like watching, if you like watching the Big 12, which is nothing but offense, you would have liked watching this game because it was nothing but offense.
It's almost like we call it the Fun Belt for a reason.
Oh, God. I hope they stop saying, because they say Sun Belt, Fun Belt over and over again on on ESPN. It's like they put it in their liner notes to say Sun Belt, Fun Belt. Say Sun Belt, Fun Belt. Say Sun Belt, Fun Belt. You can't say one or the other. You have to say both together.
I just call it the Fun Belt.
That's fine.
And it's just the Fun Belt. I mean, you might as well just go ahead and officially rename the conference and all the letterhead to Fun Belt. That's all I know it as.
Give me Fun Belt Maction any day of the week. I love it because those two Twitter accounts love to go at each other.
I will say that of all the Rona things that we are putting up with right now, the loss of Tuesday night Maction is up there amongst the saddest for me. Tuesday night Maction during a regular college football season is one of the joys of life. Those 63-60 games that come down to the 92nd overtime, that's what I'm here for, man. That's what I'm here for. All right, coming up this evening, a pair of games for you. SMU is at Tulane. SMU favored only by a touchdown in this one. Tulane at 2-2. Tulane keeps threatening to be a good team, right? They keep threatening to be a good team. They go get a win at USA. They turn around, just a field goal defeat at the hands of Navy. They score 66 on Southern Miss last week. And then they go lose at Houston by 18, but it was on the road at a decent little Houston squad. Tulane is right at the point where they might be able to turn the corner, but death penalty U and SMU is having themselves a season right now. 31-24 win over Texas State is the closest. They knock off North Texas, dropping 65 on them. Stephen F. Austin, they put a 50 spot up on them, and they actually got a dub over a top 25 ranked team when they took on number 25 Memphis and knocked them off by a field goal. I got to tell you, Diesel, this isn't a game that I think jumps out at a lot of people, but SMU Tulane tonight might be the sneaky entertaining game of the week, to tell you the truth.
Oh, I'll be watching.
Yeah. That one's at 6 o'clock. At 9:30, another decent matchup, BYU taking on Houston. BYU is ranked number 14 in the country. They are 4-0 with wins over Navy, Troy, Louisiana Tech, and UTSA. Not exactly a who's who of dubs, but they're getting all the dubs they're supposed to get. Houston, on the other hand, should be 4-0 at this point in the season, but they have taken the Appalachian State approach to football, and they have had three games postponed Rice, Baylor, and North Texas all had to postpone their matchups against the Houston Cougars. So they have had only one game so far, and it was that aforementioned win over Tulane last weekend. Houston BYU could be interesting because we have no idea what Houston is right now. BYU is a team that is consistent, if not spectacular. BYU is favored in this by just five, but the over-under on this game, Diesel, is set at 62.5, which means we are going to have another point explosion in college ball.
Give me more. Give me more offense.
Yeah.
Again, I will tune in to a 48-45 game late because I know somebody's going to score versus a 6-3 game. I'm not going to watch that. It's dull. It's dull.
All right, so when we come back here in just a minute, we'll start looking down our top 25 schedule. We all know Clemson taking on Georgia Tech at noon tomorrow. That one will be over in the ATL. Auburn and South Carolina. When we come back here in just a minute, we're going to break down Auburn, South Carolina, because despite the fact that Auburn is a top 15 team, according to the AP and the coaches poll, I'm going to tell you right now, I am picking South Carolina to upset Auburn at home in Columbia. I think the Gamecocks are going to win this game. Auburn is only a one field goal favorite in this matchup, and the over-under tells me everything that I wanted to know. I'll tell you what it is when we come back here in just a second. My name is Rob Brown. Diesel's my co-host and producer. The Rob Brown Show's on your radio. It's ESPN Upstate.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
The Rob Brown Show rolls on. ESPNUpstate.com is our website. I want you to check it out. Every day, multiple times a day, we put some of the biggest stories in sports up at the top of that page that impact the Upstate, so you can check it out. If you go there right now, right at the very top, you will see a picture of this very, very handsome young man. That's me. Click on that, and you will be taken to an article that I wrote earlier in the week that asks the question, can Carolina win a ranked game against Auburn? And the byline that I wrote and believe is that not only yes, but Gamecocks fans should be optimistic about it. So in this article, basically, I have pointed out something that I believe shows that Auburn is or that South Carolina is a nightmare matchup for the Auburn Tigers. All the things that South Carolina does well are all the things that Auburn has shown prove a struggle for them in games. Auburn should be 1-2. Auburn should be 1-2. They got bailed out by officials at the end of that game last weekend. That was a fumble. It should have been an Arkansas football with a one-point lead. Instead, Auburn was able to keep driving down the field and kick a late-game field goal to win it by a couple. Auburn should be 1-2 and either unranked or right at the very bottom of the top 25, based on how you feel about the Big Ten and the Pac-12. Another discussion for another day. So, over the past handful of weeks, I have repeated a story from middle school where I told you I had a head coach once. We lost a rivalry game. We thought we were going to get chewed out, and Coach Grant walked in and sat down, a man not known for anything other than his temper. He sat down in front of us and he said, "Fellas, today you had the biggest problem anyone can have in sports. Sometimes the other team is just better than you are." And that is a problem that South Carolina has faced multiple times over the past few years, and almost every single time that they have played a team with a top 25 ranking. This week, the Gamecocks square off with the Auburn Tigers, a team ranked 14th in the national polls, but one that has some glaring similarities to the same spots that South Carolina has been coming from as of late. Let's start with the head coach, Gus Malzahn. He right now has found himself without the support of a majority of Auburn Tiger fans. The offense he's been running has been largely unchanged for the past few years, despite the struggles that the team has been faced with when lined up across from the rest of the Southeastern Conference. But the more I look at these Auburn Tigers, the more I think it's not so crazy to believe that South Carolina might be able to steal away a dub in a game that we all counted amongst the L's when this season started. And here are a couple of reasons why. First off, this Auburn team was manhandled by the Georgia Bulldogs and then had a real opportunity to turn it around against a very mediocre Arkansas team last week. An Arkansas team that has one Southeastern Conference win in their last 22 attempts in the conference. They are 1-21 in their last 22. Coming into that game, now they're 2-21 after the, 1-21 should be 2-21. But the officials ripped that dub over Auburn away from them. It was an obvious blown call that saved them from looking at 1-2. This team did not respond to that Georgia manhandling the way that a true top 20 team would, which leads me to believe that they are closer to South Carolina than they are to Georgia. But more specifically, what the Gamecocks have done in the past couple of weeks is what I think makes them a nightmare matchup for Auburn. Bo Nix, starting quarterback for the Auburn Tigers, better than average quarterback who is still improving. The best way to beat Bo Nix, however, is to keep him on the sideline until high-pressure scenarios where his accuracy in-game drops. And that is something that South Carolina has done exceptionally well. So far this year, USC has dominated the time of possession in every game. Go back to that Florida game. The Gamecocks ran 30 more plays from scrimmage than the Gators did. They knew that Kyle Pitts and Kyle Trask was a deadly combo. They knew the best way to neutralize them was to keep them on the bench. So South Carolina grinded out possessions. A lot of runs to Kevin Harris. A lot of short passes to Shai Smith. Blue-collar football. And it worked. They gave themselves a chance to win against Florida, a top-five team on the road in the Swamp. Against Vanderbilt, they did the same thing. Granted, against a much inferior squad, a squad that was burdened by massive loss of players to the coronavirus, but the game plan was the same. Grind the ball down the field, wear out the clock, wear out the defense, keep their offense on the bench. And part of that is the success of converting third downs. Against Florida, USC started by going 6 of 8 off the top of my head on third downs converted, and they stayed on that pace until late in the game. And it wasn't until USC was trailing and had to switch away from Kevin Harris being the workforce and start throwing the ball that number dropped. Otherwise, their third down success conversion rate would be higher than the 61%+ that it is right now. If you add fourth down conversions into that mix, then Muschamp's boys looked even better. Every fourth down against UF was completed with the exception of the final fourth down of the game, which was a slightly off-target throw to Shai Smith that should have been a touchdown if Colin Hill would have made a better throw, if Shai could have stopped himself just a couple of footsteps earlier. Then you likely would have seen that as a perfect, I want to say it was 6 for 6 on fourth downs. South Carolina's offense on money downs has been excelente, which is exactly what you have to do against Auburn. Convert the money downs, keep Bo Nix on the sideline. the best way to keep Auburn limited offensively, is to do it with your offense, something that USC has done very well in the last few weeks. Defensively, USC hasn't exactly been a parked bus in front of the end zone, but they have been very good on third downs, and that will be a requirement against Auburn. Bo Nix is not the best quarterback that USC has faced so far, so this isn't a massive step up in challenge compared to Kyle Trask at Florida, but he's not pedestrian either, so the pressure will be on USC to maintain their defensive stature on money downs. Nix can be pressured into making mistakes, but that will require USC to be top-notch against the run. Take the run away from the Auburn Tigers, force the ball into the air on the arm of Bo Nix, and he will make mistakes. Not necessarily turnovers, although you'd like to snag one or two. I think he's only got one pick on the year. Not necessarily turnovers, but he will get inaccurate, and he will start throwing wild, and guys will not have an opportunity at the football. That is something that you need to see. It is a very simple formula for South Carolina. Control the clock, make Bo Nix win the game for Auburn, and keep running the damn ball. If those three things are done, I think USC is a nightmare matchup for Auburn. And with that spread moving down, by the way, okay, that spread on Wednesday when I posted this blog at ESPNUpstate.com was a +3.5 spread, right? South Carolina was +3.5. Today, when I went and checked the lines this morning getting ready for the show, +2.5. The money is coming in on South Carolina right now. Everybody is a Carolina believer in this game except Gamecocks fans themselves. I might be the only one in the upstate who feels this way, but Diesel, give me USC to win the game outright. How do you feel about my comparisons there, D-Train?
Just want to know, how much sugar did you put in all that Kool-Aid you're drinking?
This isn't Kool-Aid. I just gave you the reasons. I gave you numbers to back it up. That's not me going on the hopes and dreams train. I just gave you the numbers to back up what I'm saying.
I give you one reason, and the biggest reason why it's not going to happen. Will Muschamp. That's why it's not going to happen.
I mean, he gave them a chance to go beat a top five team in Florida on the road. This time he gets a bad top 14 team at home.
I mean, a blind squirrel finds a nut every now and again.
All right. Guess we're going to find out.
I need proof. I need more than hopes.
It's not hopes. I just gave you the numbers, man. They're a money team on third down, both offensively and defensively. That's a place where Auburn struggles. They have to stop the run to keep Auburn on the arm of Bo Nix. That is something that they've done relatively well. And they've got to own the time of possession. They own, not close. They straight up own the time of possession in every game they've played. So far against Florida, they had the ball like 37 of 60 minutes. It was a ridiculous number. There's data right there, man. That's science, baby. Diesel says no. Diesel says South Carolina will be Will Muschamped into an L. All right, South Carolina fans, how do you feel about it? Do you believe me? Can the Gamecocks give the Tigers a run? That's the question I've asked of you. 844-477-3776. 844-GSP-ESPN is the number. Text me at 71-307. 71-307. Start your text with ESPN so it filters through to us. We love to read it on the air. Tweet us at the Rob Brown Show, at Diesel on Radio, at ESPN Upstate, or email me, robbrown@ESPNUpstate.com. South Carolina fans, I have given you my case for you to be optimistic. Do you believe? I need you to believe. Back after this on the Rob Brown Show and ESPN Upstate. The Rob Brown Show rolls on. It's ESPN Upstate. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, Rob Diesel with you. I want you to be a part of the program, 844-477-3776. Texas 71307, start your text with ESPN. Got this one just a minute ago. Rob, wait! USC is playing this weekend, question mark? I gotta tell you the truth, guys. I gotta tell you the truth. About 4 or 5 weeks ago, right before college football got started back up, I had a big question, which is it USC or is it U of SC? And I was told that within the last, couple of years, that South Carolina had bought fully into the it is U of SC, up to and including going out of the way to rebrand as U of SC. And for like a week, Diesel, I tried to call them U of FC. I tried to call them U of SC. It just doesn't feel right, right? Like, it just doesn't feel right. And I have had multiple South Carolina fans who have texted me and been like, I hate that. I hate it. We're just USC. We just want to be USC again. Diesel, I don't know how to handle this situation. I don't know whether I call them USC. I don't know if I call them U of SC, or I don't know if I get the cheater's way out and just call them South Carolina every single time I talk about them. I don't know what to do here.
Just call them USC. The only people who are going to call them U of SC are people related to the athletic department and to the university. They're the only ones who are going to say, I guarantee you no fan is ever going to say, go U of SC. They're not going to do it. They're not going to do it. This is just like some dumb marketing ploy, you know, to separate from Southern Cal. It's just USC. It's USC. It's always going to be USC. You can put it on your hats all you want to, but you're not U of SC, you're USC. And again, I the fans feel the same way.
That was my thought, right? Like, that was my thought is USC. But if the athletic department itself took the effort to go through the rebranding, I feel like I'm...
Yeah, but athletic departments change their branding every 3 years whenever they hire a new AD. They'll change it every 2 or 3 years.
I don't know, man.
Because branding now has absolutely nothing to do with tradition. You know, it used to be your tradition branded who you were. Now it's, all right, what can we spend a couple $1 million on to post on Twitter and Facebook and put up billboards and make new hats? That's what branding is now. It's just whatever pithy slogan they come up with.
Pithy. Listen to you. You're a walk-in SAT test today. Respect it. Yeah, I just, like I said, I every time I bring up USC, I get that inevitable text of it's U of SC. Who is U? USC's in the Pac-12. We're U of SC. But then every time I say U of SC, I get a text from somebody else that goes, we're not U of SC, we're just USC, South Carolina. Just call us that. To the point that, and this is actually 100% true. This is two fingers in the air, Scout's honor. I have had, Diesel, minor panic attacks when I have to refer to South Carolina multiple times within a segment, because every time that I am approaching wanting to call it USC or U of SC, I have a mini panic attack about which one I should go with as to not aggravate the good people of the upstate who proudly wear their U of / USC gear. I don't know how to handle it. It's pathetic.
How about this? Why don't we just do the USC or U of SC, and then we run a strike through the of.
The of?
So it's there whether you – it's there if you want it. It's not there if you don't.
It's crossed out if you don't.
Yeah.
Yeah, how do I do that verbally, Diesel? How do I do that verbally?
I'm
going to be like, ladies and gentlemen, coming out this weekend, the number 14 Auburn Tigers traveling down to Columbia, South Carolina, where they will take on U of SC.
There you go. You got it.
That's what I'm going to do from now. I think that's how I'm going to handle it. So, Gamecocks fans, I fully believe that U of SC will be able to get the dub against Auburn. Do you feel the same way? 844-GSP-ESPN, 844-477-3776. Texas at 71307. Let's see. ESPN, South Carolina lost a court battle with Southern Cal over the use of USC. Thus, Carolina had to rebrand as U of SC, even though Carolina was a university before California was a state. Is that accurate, Diesel? Do you know?
Far as I know, yeah.
Okay.
I don't know. I'm not too steeped in U of SC lore.
Fair. I very much don't have the energy to go do this research, but now I'm going to have to. At ESPN, Rob, how do you expect the Gamecocks to beat Auburn when they don't even know their own damn name? So our Friday begins, ladies and gentlemen.
And a Tiger fan has entered the arena.
Yep. Clemson fan has entered the chat. At ESPN, hey guys, you of, he put it, not me, you of SC fan here, that new branding sucks. I say they should have just gone with SC, otherwise say Gamecocks locally, USC works. All right.
Now
so,
you get to go head-to-head with ESPN over SportsCenter.
Right, right. So if I'm broadcasting here in the upstate, I can go USC because by default, most people are going to assume that it's USC that I am talking about. If I am talking nationally about them, then I have to go U of SC. So it's a regional thing? I'm now more confused. I don't know how this works. 844-477-3776. Text me 71307. Start your text with ESPN so it filters through to me. Tweet us at the Rob Brown Show, at ESPN Upstate, at Diesel on Radio. Go to ESPNUpstate.com to see my article on why I believe South Carolina will beat Auburn straight up this weekend. Back after this on the Rob Brown Show. This is ESPN Upstate. The Rob Brown Show rolls on. It is ESPN Upstate. Coming up at 2:15, we are going to be joined by Mr. Kevin Thomas and Mr. John Epps to talk some high school football. We'll run you through the state of high school football around the area. We have had some postponements and cancellations, but we still do have some games going on tonight. So Kevin Martin and John Epps will be joining us coming up today. Kevin Thomas, excuse me, and John Epps will be joining us today at 2:15 to talk some high school football with us. Stick around for that. So we mentioned back in the first hour, we'll bring it back up here, Trevor Lawrence has an opportunity this weekend to make some history in the ACC. There's a cat that used to play at NC State. You may know him. He goes by the name Russell Wilson. He was kind of a big deal back in the day. Anyway, Russell Wilson right now holds the ACC record for the most passing attempts thrown without an interception. As it stands right now, that record is at 379. If Trevor Lawrence can add 25 passing attempts this weekend against Georgia Tech, he will break that record. The last INT thrown by Trevor Lawrence was October 19th of 2019. He is coming up on a calendar year without throwing an in-competition INT. Yeah, that's a pretty solid effort. It equates to basically a full football season without an INT. Yeah, that's not half bad. 70% completion percentage since then, 4,000 yards, 43 passing touchdowns during that time. You know, Diesel, I know, listen, it sounds around here when you talk about Trevor Lawrence being a generational talent and, you know, looking at Clemson fans and going, hey, please enjoy what you have in this kid because it is not permanent and these players don't come around very often. It feels like you're just kind of blowing smoke in order to appease. But that number right there, a full calendar year without an INT, 70% completion percentage, 4,000 yards, 43 touchdowns, and 25 passing attempts away from setting the ACC record held by an NFL legend already in Russell Wilson. Diesel, those numbers say that this kid is every bit as special as the smoke blowers say that he is.
Yeah, I'm trying to look up and see how many passing attempts Trevor Lawrence attempts on a weekly basis. I'm sure he's attempting more than, you know, more than 20. So this weekend he could break the record this weekend.
Yeah, he's got to be coming up on it. I go back and I'm looking at Trevor Lawrence's stats. And you know, the Miami game last week was kind of interesting. And the only reason that I would say that they don't get there would be because Clemson does like they did against Miami. And he just, you know, they just run it up early and they spend most of the time running behind ETN and co in the back half. But he threw the ball. Take a stab. Just a stab in the dark, Diesel. They blew Miami out last weekend. Stab in the dark. How many passing attempts did Trevor Lawrence have?
Well, I'm actually looking at it right now, so I know the answer. It's 44.
Oh, good. Good. Okay, fun. Yeah, 38 against Virginia, 28 against Wake Forest. The only game where he did not have that many was against the Citadel, where he had 9, and he only played, what, a quarter against the Citadel before they went to the backups there to give them some time. Trevor Lawrence is going to break this record on Saturday, all right? Do you believe in the announcer jinx, Diesel?
No.
Okay, good. I don't believe in the announcer jinx, except one time. When J.J. Redick was going for the all-time college basketball consecutive free throws made record, and Duke had J.J. Redick on the line, and I think he needed two more, maybe just one more, but he needed one or two more to set the ACC record for consecutive free throws made. And Dick, I never forget this. I don't know why I'm segueing into this, but I'll never forget it. Because I was watching that. That was the first time I was like, ooh, maybe the curse of the announcer is real. Dick Vitale, as J.J. Redick makes his way up to the free throw line, goes, "This guy's automatic, baby. He can't miss." And then he missed. And for the first time since I learned who it was that Dick Vitale is, I thought to myself, Dick Vitale just went silent. Dick Vitale's never silent. I've met Dick Vitale in person twice. The guy never shuts up. I say that in a loving way because I love Dick Vitale. But Dick Vitale went quiet. And after the clank and the crowd goes silent, stunned silent there at Cameron Indoor, Dickie V goes, "Oh, no, JJ, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry, baby." The jinx of the announcer is not real except Dick Vitale. Dick Vitale will jinx you. Anyway, no curse of the announcer here. Trevor Lawrence will absolutely set that record this weekend. There is no risk he throws a pick against Georgia Tech. It will not happen. There is no risk that he will not get his 25 completions. He absolutely will. Setting records, doing work. That's what's going to happen. 844-GSP-ESPN, 844-477-3776. Text us at 71307, 71307. Email us at Rob Brown at ESPNUpstate.com, Rob Brown at ESPNUpstate.com, and tweet us at The Rob Brown Show, at Diesel on Radio, at ESPNUpstate. At ESPN, speaking of record books, anyone else notice that Coach Boone blew his kicker's chance at 15 consecutive field goals after the announcers called it out on the radio, too, on a 54-yard career-long field goal? Would have tied him for the record with a Carolina legend and given him a chance to break it. I did, because not only, and this is one of the few times I'm sitting here talking up Carolina and their chances to win against Auburn this weekend, not only did he do that, Texter, not only did he do that, but keep in mind, when Boom lined up that field goal, it was a three-score game, stayed that way. Just it was one of a couple of coaching decisions that were questionable at best this past weekend. I say Carolina's doing all the right things to beat Auburn. Diesel said at the end of the day, Will Muschamp is still the coach, and that's why they won't get it done. We'll see. Coming up in the next hour, we will open it up by giving you our NFL picks and predictions for the weekend. Then Mr. Kevin Thomas and John Epps from Moving the Change join us to tell you what's going on in high school football. And we wrap it all up like always on the Rob Brown Show and ESPN Upstate.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.